Yeah, why'd you look out that motel window?
That just a car light was on, and it wasn't turbo, it was my car light. Okay. But then literally as I looked at it, it turned off. So I'm like, even if it is my car light, it's fine.
All right.
Unless my car just died.
It's not a guy in a ski mask.
Mistakes. Ow. So for context, we are in a motel
in Augusta, Montana,
which
is not a town or a city.
It's a census designated area. Okay. So whatever that means to you,
yeah,
can't, you know, I don't think that there is an official. I just love how your face is fully hidden by the microphone from my angle.
If I sound so calm right now, you're like, hey, you guys are like, Nika, why is her voice, it's so soothing? It's because I am lying in bed up against some pillows with the microphone directly.
She looks like she's Madeline after her appendix taken
out. Because my stomach is...
Is it your appendix?
No.
Okay.
My stomach is hurting, but showbiz must go on.
I mean, apparently it mustn't because we just took like over a month off.
So here we are.
Here we are. We just recorded a Patreon episode.
We did.
Are you about to get under the covers?
Well, no, it was going to move the cord, so I decided not to. But I was thinking about it. Absolutely. It crossed my mind. I'd be remiss.
We simply can't record with you fully snug as a bug in a rug. You're going to fall asleep.
I have a whole mic right here. I've always fantasized about recording in bed. Every time that we record in Elise's room, my view often trails off to her bed. And I think, why can't we record lying down? No. Like, why not? Why can't we record in bed?
Well, maybe...
Like the grandparents in Willy Wonka.
Maybe this is the episode that we find out.
I just think that more things should be done in bed.
More things should be done horizontally.
I'm an anti-capitalist.
Absolutely. Okay, well... On that anti-capitalist note, any of you... What?
I was just giving them more of a vision. I'm wearing my Walmart panties. They're skin tone toned French cut. I'm wearing my Parade,
hoodie
that I cut into a crop top. I'm wearing my beanie.
I shoplifted unknowingly
from a small business. I did not know this until after I walked out. And then I was like, well, I'm not going to walk back in and say, I stole this. So I kept it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been wearing it every day. Have not washed my hair. I'm very much acting like a 16-year-old boy. I love it. What about you, Anya? What are you wearing?
I'm wearing my like triple XL against me t-shirt and my Cape Cod sweatpants that have a hole in the crotch that I cannot for the life of me figure out where it came from. And my socks that I bought from a Native American reservation trading post today.
That's so true. The Blackfeet Reservation.
Yeah. For $6, I got 5 pairs of pretty good quality socks, I gotta say.
You did.
And yeah, I guess that's all I'm wearing. Wait, what kind of underwear? Oh, I think I'm wearing... my Tommy Hilfiger underwear.
Okay.
So let's celebrate that.
What I am currently celebrating as I play with my stomach is that I'm realizing for the first time in a while as I lie down that you can't see my ribs.
Okay, let's talk more into the mic.
I've been eating so well on this trip. You can't see my ribs.
She has been eating like better than I have.
Yeah.
Every meal
plate club.
Every meal you finish and I don't.
Yeah.
I've been saving my leftovers and eating them later, everyone. I have been finishing the meals technically, but I just, my Wellbutrin, it's got me on a hell of a journey with food. But I think I'm slightly less crazy, or I don't know about that. I'm the same amount of crazy, but I'm a little bit less deeply upset all of the time. Like, I have my little, my downswings, and then I just swing right back up to neutral pretty quickly. And I think, you know, in this life, that's all you can ask for. Yeah. So if anyone needed an update on my medication journey, that in combination with Lamictal is treating me just okay.
Anyway, we're here. We're finally giving you...
What? I was going to say, before you rudely interrupted me earlier, and now I'm rudely interrupting you, on the note of anti-capitalism, if any of you have anything to say about us taking some much-needed time off, why don't you go and talk to fucking George W. Bush about that, okay? Why don't you go join the fucking Confederate Army? Why don't you go put in an application for Walmart, okay? What else is bad that they can that they can go join the club of? We don't want to hear it. And if anyone was subscribed to our Patreon during the time off we took, in a way, you just gave us some socialist paid time off.
Absolutely.
That was very European of you. Now we're back. But not back where we live.
No.
So why don't we catch them up on that?
Yeah. All right. Well, we just said we're in Augusta, Montana. And...
Should we give them a quick rundown of all the stops we've made, and then we can kind of like...
Yeah.
Catch them up on what's happened in that time?
Yeah, we should.
Okay.
All right. So we started in Rutland, Vermont.
Famously.
And then we drove on down to Asheville,
North Carolina.
And we'll get back to that one. Don't you worry.
We put a pin in Asheville.
Put a pin in Asheville because a lot happened there. And we'll talk about it. And then we went to the greater Nashville, Tennessee area, but not to Nashville itself. We went to a magical little place in the woods that will go unnamed. And then from there, we went to New Orleans, Louisiana. And that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we went to Austin, Texas. Gorgeous. And then from there, we went to Roswell, New Mexico. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we went to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Great. And then from there, we went to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Also kind of cool. And then from there, we went to Sedona, Arizona. And then from there...
We drove through Flagstaff.
We drove through Flagstaff.
Oh, well, actually, we did stop in Flagstaff.
We did. And then from there, we went to Kanab, Utah. And then from there...
We stopped in the Grand Canyon.
We went back into Arizona. To see the Grand Canyon.
From the North Rim.
And then from there, we went to Las Vegas, Nevada. And then from there, we went to Los Angeles, California. And then from there, we went to Joshua Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we drove up the Pacific Coast Highway. We went to Malibu for about 5 minutes.
Listen to Malibu by Miley Cyrus Malibu by Kim Petras.
Yes. Then we camped in San Luis Obispo. And then we drove up to San Francisco. And then from there, we went to the Redwoods area, Auric, California, to be specific. And then from there, we drove into Washington.
Stopped in Portland, Oregon, for dinner.
And then drove into Washington. And then from there, we drove here.
Well, yeah, we drove to Big Fork, Montana.
Yes.
And then we spent the day in Glacier National Park. And then last night slept in St. Mary, Montana.
Yes.
And then tonight we're in Augusta, Montana.
Yeah.
And that's what we just gave you is the full summary of a month exactly.
Yeah.
We just spent a month on the road. And those were all the stops we made. We left August 29th. And as we record this, it is September 29th.
Yeah.
We're gonna do a little bit of a rundown on our experience on the road. Some of the things that have happened, like, since the last episode you heard from us. From there to this road trip. Well, we're going to fill in some of the blanks. And then if you want any more blanks filled in, we did just record a Patreon episode where we get into a little bit more of the nitty gritty of some of it.
Yeah.
But if you know us at all, if you follow us on social media at all, if you share community with us, if you have a parasocial relationship with us, you know by now that we are currently in the state of mourning. We're in the state of Montana, but we're also mourning. We're mourning in Montana. Ooh, we should write a movie called Mourning in Montana. Anyway, we are grieving. Our very good friend, Alex Patton, died. Visiting him and his husband River was our first stop on this road trip in Asheville, mm-hmm. North Carolina.
Yeah.
If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, for reference, you may recall in 2021, spring of 2021, we went to North Carolina and we made some really amazing friends and fell absolutely in love with our new friends. And Alex was one of those friends. For further reference, if you've been listening to this podcast, if you know us at all, you may remember that when we came back from that trip in spring of 2021, we couldn't stop talking in these North Carolina accents that we picked up. And we started talking in those accents before we met Alex, kind of briefly when we went to Dollywood on that trip. We were kind of jokingly going in and out of those accents, but then we met Alex and he actually had one of those accents. And I would say that it's really because we spent that week with Alex in the woods of North Carolina, kind of mimicking his accent back to him. Like, he is in large part why we came back with that timeless bit that we slip into constantly, even to this day. So if you have any love for those characters that Nika and I kind of are known to slip into when we're, on a hallucinogen, usually, Alex was a huge part of that accent that we, picked up on that trip. And, that's more, those points of reference are more for the people who didn't know him. If you knew him, if you knew us and knew of him through us, there are a lot of other, very memorable things that we could talk about. And hopefully we will continue to talk about all the things that we love and know about Alex for many more episodes from here. But we didn't want, there's no way to talk about this trip we've been on without talking about
him.
And there's no way to talk about our lives right now without talking about him, kind of regardless of this trip. And there's really no way to think about the last year and a half of our life without it being hugely informed by our friendship with him. And it didn't feel right to kind of talk about really anything else on this episode. I mean, we will talk about other things on this episode, but, you know, just know that Alex is going to come up a lot. And his husband, River, also someone we are crazy about and adore and love endlessly, who we also met on that trip last year, is a listener of this podcast, mm-hmm. and is a huge part of our lives. And yeah, there's no way to, like, for us to go on without really, like, taking the time to talk about how much Alex meant to us and how deeply, deeply devastated not only we are, but everyone that knew Alex is. So yeah, we're gonna talk about it. So we left on this trip and we drove like 15 hours from Vermont to Asheville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And our very first stop was visiting River and Alex, staying at their house. And we were getting in really late. We got in at like, what, 3 a.m. or something like that?
Yeah, 3 or 4.
And we kept, like, you know, we were in touch with River. I hadn't really texted Alex. I was texting River, and I, like, told River that we were going to be pretty late.
Yeah, Alex was texting me and, like, getting my location, but that was about it. Like, we, like, shared locations.
Right. And then I told River that our ETA was, like, 3 a.m., and then I just didn't, like, hear back. And then Alex called us at, like, I don't know, 1 a.m. and asked what our, like, if we knew when we were going to get in. And I was like, we're about an hour away. Or I guess 2 a.m. is when he called, like, 1:32. I was like, we're about an hour away. So he just decided to stay up and wait for us. And River had already gone to bed. And so when we got there, Alex was, like, on the front lawn, like, waiting for us, excited to see us. And then our first night there was just, like, Alex, like, literally crawled into the guest bed with us. And, like, yeah. River groggily came out of their bedroom and, like, got into the bed with us, too. And we all just, like, you know, hung out and giggled and had a, like, great couple of hours together, stayed up super late. And then the next day we had a comedy show, in Asheville. It was our first show of this tour. And Alex had convinced, like, all of their friends to come. And before the show, Nika and I had a bunch of materials to make merch for us, because I think we talk about this. We talked about this at some point, maybe, but I dropped the ball and fucked up our merch order. And so our merch wasn't going to come in time for us to leave with it on the road. So we instead, like, ordered a bunch of, like, blank totes and blank bucket hats and, like, stencils and, like, made merch. And Alex spent the whole day making it with us and, like, helping us figure out, like, what the best way to make it would be. And, like, yeah, we spent all day on their back porch in North Carolina just, like, spray painting tote bags and bucket hats, and Alex helped us the whole time. Yeah. And then we went to our show, and all of their friends came, all these friends that I know only came because Alex fucking sung our praises and told everyone that they simply have to come. And then they did, because everyone who loves Alex, like, everyone who loves Alex knows what it was like to be enthusiastically coerced / encouraged by him to do things that he loved to do and wanted to do. And so, yeah, his friends came and supported these people they didn't even know because they loved him. And then they had a big party at their house with like all of their friends. And like one of my friends from high school who now lives in Asheville also came. And yeah, we all like hung out and we went on their big tree weave that they have in their yard. For those of you who don't know, River and Alex have this company that they basically just like make these really incredible like woven nets in trees that people can like hang out in. And they have an enormous one in their own yard. And we listened to Perfume by Britney Spears with Alex in that tree weave. And I watched River and Alex play volleyball in their yard with their friends who all play volleyball together. And we stayed up all night and we danced and laughed and told each other how much we loved each other and all the things that we have come to grow accustomed to doing whenever we're with Alex and River. And then the next day we departed for our next stop in Tennessee. We overslept and we had to boogie and we left in kind of a rush because we had to get to Tennessee because Asheville was the very first stop on our road trip. And, you know, we had over a month of stops ahead of us. So off to Tennessee we went. And, you know, we like might talk more about our Tennessee and New Orleans and Austin stops, but for the sake of this story, about a week later when we got to Santa Fe, Nika found out the very hard news that Alex had suddenly and tragically died. Mm-hmm. And she had the unfortunate job of telling me this news while we were in Meow Wolf, which if you don't know what that is, definitely look it up just for context of where we were when we found out our friend died. A very surreal place to kind of digest any serious news. And of course, everyone wonders when you find out someone young and vibrant and full of life, when you find out that they die, everyone wonders how. And River has made it very clear that he doesn't want that to be a mystery. And if you want like more specific details, you can see it on River's Instagram, which is Actual Spider Monkey. You can DM me on Instagram, and I will tell you. But the synopsis for the sake of the podcast is that he was on a camping trip, and he drowned. And it was a very unfortunate freak accident. And I don't think it was ever the way that he imagined that he was gonna die. I think anyone who, like, you know, camps a lot and swims a lot and is out in the world doing outdoorsy things, I don't think any of us imagine that that is even a possibility. But, you know, that is why they are freak accidents, I guess, is because they're completely unpredictable in that way. But yeah, he absolutely, nobody had any warning, I guess, that this was a possibility or that this would happen. And the rug was very much ripped out from under all of us. And yeah, we're not going to talk about any, like, you know, big quote unquote mistake today. I think this is the mistake, if we can even call it that, that we're going to talk about. But there's no way to talk about, like, anything else about what we've been up to without updating y'all on this. So we are we're opening the episode with this. And yeah, it's very hard to talk about. We're both still very much grieving this entire situation. I don't think that there will ever be a time where we're not, but you know, we're in the immediate aftermath stage of the grieving. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things that we can personally say about it. I've been given permission to read Alex's obituary that his family wrote. So I'm going to read that, and then we can give our own thoughts, if that's what feels right. But Alexander Taylor Patton, age 34, of Asheville, North Carolina, passed away on Wednesday, September 7th, 2022, in a tragic drowning accident on Lake Santitla, North Carolina. Alex was born in Morganton, North Carolina, on October 31st, 1987, to Jeff and Susan Patton. Alex, along with his husband, River Echeverria. Why don't I know how to pronounce River's last name? Do you know how to pronounce it?
No, I don't.
Sorry, River. He's going to hate that. Anyway, Alex, along with his husband, River, owned Tree Weaves in Asheville. They traveled the country installing their creative and playful custom netting while weaving themselves into people's lives. A celebration of life was held with Alex and River's families and around 150 of Alex's closest friends in a beautiful outdoor setting in Fines Creek. Alex embraced life, friends, and family. He loved being outdoors, where he enjoyed camping, volleyball, slacklining, dancing, building, creating art, and hanging out in his tree weaves. He loved swimming. His infectious smile, laughter, creativity, generosity, and adventurous spirit will be greatly missed by all that loved him. Alex was only with us a short time, but he lived more than most, and he will be in our hearts forever. Alex was preceded in death by his grandfather, Alfred Patton. He is survived by his husband, River, his parents, Jeff and Susan, his sister, Samantha, his grandparents, Mary Dean Taylor, Cobb Taylor, Norma Patton, and aunts, uncles, and cousins. Our family is comforted by the outpouring of love for Alex. So, this episode is dedicated to Alex. Is there anything you want to say?
I mean, yeah, I guess, like, so much. You know, obviously, I loved Alex a lot. And we, like, weren't friends for that long. We were friends for less than 2 years. But we were, like, you know, we got exceptionally close really fast, which is how this network, this chosen family that we're in, operates. And I, you know, I guess just we're honest on this podcast. We're vulnerable. People love that about us. So I'll just be honest with how I'm feeling, which is that I'm just angry. And I've been pissed. And it's been really, really difficult to talk about him. And to remember him, to talk about the memories, because I'm just still really angry. And I'm not angry at anyone in particular, you know. I'm not angry at Alex. I'm not angry at the universe. I'm not angry at the world. I'm just angry that it happened. And I, yeah, it's been one thing to write an Instagram post about him and to remember him that way. It's very, you know, it's natural for me to write down how I'm feeling and express myself that way. But when I try to actually talk about him, like, this way, it's just very difficult. And I think it's just because it becomes even more real than when you're just, like, writing something down on your phone or on a piece of, you know, when you're writing something down and you're, like, memorializing someone, at least for me, it's, like, still abstract in a way. It's, like, they're not... I don't know how to explain it, but to speak about him in this way, it becomes very real. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm just, you know, without getting into, like, too much detail regarding his death, out of respect for, you know, River and our other friends who really loved him, there's just some shit about it that has left me, like, reeling and angry. And I don't really know what to do with that. And, you know, I know, like, one thing that I'm very angry about is that we were friends for such a short amount of time. And that I had plans for us to be friends for so much longer than that. You know, I envisioned that we would be friends for the rest of our lives, and we were friends for the rest of Alex's life, but mm-hmm. I didn't imagine that Alex would die at 34 years old. Mm-hmm. None of us did. Alex didn't. And it's, you know, the age old cliche of, you know, realizing how much you have taken someone for granted, or a friendship for granted, or just life for granted, when you lose that person, or that moment is over, that, you know, it turns into a memory. And that's what I'm feeling now. You know, it's like, we even talked about it on the podcast. We didn't speak to Alex and River for a little bit after some stupid fucking fight that meant nothing at all. And I spent months feeling hurt that Alex had, like, wasn't reaching out to me. And when me and Alex finally made up and spoke to each other, we both realized that we had both been waiting for the other to reach out, because we were both so hurt and we were afraid that the other wanted nothing to do with us. And we finally did make up, but after making up, I saw him two more times within that time frame before his death. And so that has just been quite like a fucking, like, minefield to be dealing with. Yeah. On top of thinking about how, like, other people are feeling, especially River, you know, it's like, if I'm feeling this way, I'm feeling less than a fraction of what his sister is feeling, or his mother, or his father, or his cousins, or his husband, or his friends who have known him for more than a year and a half.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. River and Alex were two of the first, like, new friends I made in this community that we are in, this chosen family. like, you know, I met the like New York contingent and it was the pandemic, so there just wasn't a lot of like people traveling or, you know, any of that going on. And so it wasn't until people started doing stuff again in like early summer of 2021 that we got invited on this trip to North Carolina. And we went and we met River and Alex, among many other wonderful people. And, but River and Alex were the two people on this trip that I like had connected with the most. And I even remember like remarking to them that like meeting them and, you know, not just them, other people as well, you, a lot of our other like close friends, mm-hmm. but like among all the people I've ever felt this way about, meeting them was like, you know, consolation for all the people that I've ever met and I wasn't enough for, or that, you know, I, that didn't get me or I didn't get them. Like meeting people like River and Alex was proof that like there are people out there for you, and that if you aren't, you know, being your full authentic self for the sake of the people who don't even really like are never gonna get you or never gonna fully accept you, then the people who are gonna fucking love you for exactly who you are never actually gonna see exactly who you are. And like Alex in particular was someone I really bonded with over that sentiment, and it's something that I remember him bringing up to me the last time we saw him a month ago, was like that he thinks about that conversation all the time because it's just so true. Like the people that get you are like the only people you need to worry about. Like those are the people that matter. And, you know, I felt that way for a while, but like truly, truly, like meeting Alex was like a huge confirmation of that. Like, it was just like, our friendship was short, and it was made even shorter by the fact that there were several months of our friendship where we weren't speaking because of a very, very stupid fight. But it was like a very intense, kind of like once in a lifetime connection that we made.
Yeah.
And I think anyone who like witnessed the friendship that we had with him can confirm that like we were very special to him and he was very special to us. And what's like even what makes all of this like even more like horrifying and gut-wrenching is that the very place that we like fell madly in love with him is where he died.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, we met Alex at Lake Santitla, and that is where he drowned. And the memory, like the very, very special, amazing, like precious memories that we made with him there the week that we met him are now combined with that fact. And yeah, you know, I don't really know what to make of that. Like, I don't know if he had died somewhere else, what that would feel like. 'Cause, you know, he didn't die somewhere else. He died there. So all I really know is how it feels that he died in the very place that I, like, met and fell in love with this person. But it is really hard that like some of my most cherished memories with him are in the shadow of this like very, very dark, horrible tragedy And I can only imagine how a lot of his other friends feel, because even though that was the only time you and I have ever been there, the people who like live in Asheville in his community, like that was like the place that they would frequent.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that like it's tenfold for everyone else in his life that like spent a lot of time with him in that place. But yeah, I'm definitely like whatever like stage of grief that I'm in, it like comes in waves, and it's really hard to like pinpoint exactly how I'm feeling about it until another wave comes. But yeah, I've been feeling anger as well. And really, I just have been feeling like a profound sadness for everyone else that loved him and for everyone else that was touched by him. Everyone's posts that I've read, like friends of his that I never even met, they all have like the same thing to say about him that we have to say, which is that like they met him and like instantly connected with him and like instantly created like a bond and like close friendship with him, and he like made them feel at home and loved and accepted. And I think it's like really beautiful and wonderful how many people that like felt that way. And I'm like beyond heartbroken at how many more people could have and should have met him and felt that way. And yeah, you know, it's hard. It's hard to be a everything happens for a reason kind of girly when something like this happens, because there is no good reason. There is no good reason that this happened.
No.
So, yeah. That was stop one on this road trip. To be fair, the next several stops, he hadn't died yet. So our entire road trip was not entirely informed by this.
No.
But the majority of it, for sure, has been. And yeah, we talk more about this and more about our lives in general since last time we spoke with y'all on the Patreon app, and we'll get into more stuff on this episode as well. But yeah, there is literally no way to talk about any of it without first talking about that. So if you were lucky enough to know and love Alex, I say from the bottom of my heart, I am so deeply sorry for your loss. And I hope that any of the like anger and anguish and sadness and turmoil that all of us are feeling right now is at all like alleviated or comforted by how much we can all see how much we all loved him. I know that it has at least been, I don't know if like even comforting is the right word, but it has been a light in the darkness to see how profoundly he impacted people in his all too short amount of time here. And if there is anyone in the world who really packed in as much life as they could in 34 years, it was Alex Patton. 33 years, I would say it's Jesus Christ. Or was it 32?
33.
But 34, Alex takes the cake on that. As fucking corny as it sounds, I just like ask you all to fucking make up with who you need to make up with.
Yeah.
Tell your friends and your family how much you love them. And spend that time with the people who get you and fuck the people that don't. Don't literally fuck them.
But you know what we mean.
In Alex's memory, you know, for him to add to his legacy, really invest all your time and energy into the people who really fucking light your fire, and pay no mind to the people who can't get you or won't get you. 'Cause life is too short, sometimes way shorter than we even realize when we say that saying.
Yeah.
Whew. So shall we get into the road trip then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Should we mistakes, keepsakes, hot takes about it?
Sure. You first.
Okay. God, this is about to get dark. I mean, it's been dark. We've been talking about a tragic sudden death, but my mistake is that I did not wake Alex up to say goodbye when we left that day. The only, you know, consolation I have for that is that it forced me to say goodbye via text to him. Mm-hmm. And so I therefore have our like last time ever telling each other how much we love each other and how much fun it was seeing each other. Like, I just like have that in writing forever now, and that's beautiful. But I would trade the screenshots for one last hug with him. Oh God, I didn't want to fucking cry on this episode. I would trade it. It's nice to be able to read it, but I just remember thinking that I should like wake him up and crawl into his bed and say goodbye. And you know, I was like, well, I'll see him soon, you know, as we all just kind of think about everyone. And we stayed up really late the night before, and I wanted to let him sleep. And so, yeah, my mistake was that I let my friend sleep. I should have woken that motherfucker up. But you know, what can you do? I like watched this interview with what's his name? Emma Stone's ex. He played Spider-Man. Andrew Garfield?
Yes.
He has this interview where he talks about losing his mom, and I don't really remember his exact quote, but he says, no matter when you lose someone, you'll never have had enough time with them. You'll never have hugged them enough. You'll never have told them you love them enough. Like, there is no enough when you lose someone. And so I'm kind of comforted by that because, you know, I don't think that had I woken him up and said goodbye to him that morning, that I would feel any better right now. Like, either way, this sucks. So, I do know that I told him I loved him a lot. And that is something that is really special about the community that we're in, is that we are not afraid of having that kind of emotional intimacy with our friends. And we really do see our friends as our family. And I am very grateful that I had the kind of friendship with him that we never held back in telling each other how much we meant to each other. So I know, like, I at least have that. And I hope to continue to have that with all the other members of this chosen family for as long as we all have each other.
Well, hi.
Well, hi.
Let's celebrate that.
My keepsake on this road trip, I mean, there are, like, way too many to count, but on a general and more abstract sense, I would say that my keepsake is that we actually did it. Like, we talked about that we wanted to go on a road trip, that we should just, like, see the fucking country and see the different parts of it that we've either never seen or we haven't seen enough of yet. And that we should, you know, do comedy all over this country. And, yeah, I mean, from talking about it as an idea to actually doing it, like, it really was like about a month of time that we planned it. And I'm just, like, very, very, very glad that we did and that we are on it right now. And, like, I think my keepsake is just the general feeling that I've gotten from this road trip is that, you know, even separate, not that there is any way to separate the experience of this road trip from losing Alex, but, you know, in addition to losing Alex, this road trip is kind of has reinforced how short life is and how important it is to just, like, do the things that you want to do and do the things that that you've always told yourself you want to do, and see as much of this world as you can. And yeah, like, between performing in all these different cities and hiking in all these different, like, national parks and seeing all the crazy different terrains on this continent, it's just, like, something that we've seen a lot wherever we go is older people. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of retired people, a lot of people that it sort of seems like they're getting it in while they still can. They're on these trips that they've been planning on doing when they finally have time to do it or when they finally have money to do it. And, like, we did not have the money to do this trip. And in a lot of ways, we didn't even have the time to do this trip, but we just did it anyway. And I know that that's, like, a very privileged thing to do. You know, we don't have kids. We don't really have lives that will be that severely fucked up by going into the red over this trip. We have, like, you know, pretty flexible streams of income, and the ability to kind of, like, check in and check out of our different responsibilities. And, like, I get that, but I also, like, you know, deciding to do something like this is never, like, convenient. It's never gonna fit in perfectly with your plans. It's never gonna be perfectly convenient. It's never gonna be the perfectly right time. And my keepsake is just, like, wow, what a, like, incredible thing I decided to do, you know?
Yeah.
And that I was lucky enough to have a friend who was down to do it with me. So that is my, like, larger general keepsake. My hot take. What is my hot take? I feel like I've been tweeting a lot of hot takes ever since I locked my Twitter. I locked my Twitter, and Twitter has been so much more fun ever since I did that. So highly recommend that. Maybe that's my hot take. Social media should be private. Social media is between a man and a woman in the sanctity of marriage. That is my hot take. Oh, if you don't like country music, you can just say you've never been on a road trip before.
Absolutely.
That's my hot take.
Okay.
Like, okay, that's fine that you've never had this gorgeous, beautiful, incredible experience of watching the open road unfold before you as you listen to Talking to God by Chrissy Metz. Mm-hmm. That's fine, but just say that.
Say that.
You don't need to bring country music as a whole into your empty life. That's my hot take.
Okay. Amen.
Let's talk to God about that.
I was talking to God last night about that.
Your turn.
Your name came up. had a lot to say. My mistake is about our friend. My mistake is also that I, like, didn't say goodbye to him, but, more so that, listen, Alex was amazing. He was the best, one of the best people alive. But to love Alex was to sometimes be really annoyed by him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, supremely annoyed by him, because he was annoying. Like, and that was kind of just, you know,
that was part of what was delightful about him.
He was like a petulant little boy sometimes. And the night before we left, he really wanted us to go into the sauna.
But not even the night, the morning.
Well, yeah.
At like, you know, 5, 6 a.m.
Yeah, but he, you know, he'd been talking about it all night, and I had been down, and I'm not a sauna girl, but I was like, I'll do it. And then the vibe just took a different turn. We were fucking on a little bit of Molly. And we were talking about life and snuggling up in blankets and doing Fat Bumps Academine. You know, it was a time to be, it was a great time. And Alex really wanted to go into the sauna, and we didn't.
The sauna, by the way, that he, like, had me help him set up, like,
and the sauna that he, like, built.
He built this sauna with his bare hands. He was that kind of person where he just made things. It was incredible. He built this sauna, and then earlier in the night, he, like, had me help, me and this other friend of theirs, set it up, and we, like, put all these tea lights, like, all on the outside of the sauna where the, like, cold plunge was, and then on the inside of the sauna, and it was just, like, all over the place. I have to say, there was probably at least, like, 30 tea lights that we lit and then placed everywhere. And then we went and just did other things for like 6 hours, to the point where I was like, well, it was fun setting it up with him. Like, it was cool to see how you set up the sauna. Like, I had so much fun setting it up with him. And I had no idea that by 5, 6 a.m., he was going to insist that we all still go in it.
Yeah, so
continue.
Anyway. I had already been spending that whole day in, you know, different ways trying to make sure that he didn't get offended or upset about one thing or another, because I, like him, am a highly emotional person. It's what we bonded over, how, like, much our feelings get the better of us. Scorpio Nation, go off. And I was just tired by 5 a.m. And I was like, you know what? I'm putting my fucking foot down. I'm not going in that goddamn sauna. I'm not doing it. I don't want to. I'm not doing it. He can deal with it. I'll see him in the morning. Whatever. And then the morning rolled around and he wasn't awake yet. And I thought that maybe he wasn't awake because he was upset that we hadn't gone in the sauna. I didn't express this to anyone, but this is what I thought. I was like, oh no, like, is Alex having, like, you know, is he being upset? Is he, like, in the room right now because he's mad at us because we didn't go into the sauna. And so I was like, you know what? I'm not going in there. If he is still asleep, I'm not going in there. If he's awake, I'm not going in there. I just don't feel like fucking going in there right now because I'm annoyed that I felt bad at 5 a.m., that I didn't want to go in the goddamn sauna. And I have a road trip to continue. And so fuck
off. This was night one of our road trip.
Fuck off, Alex. I will see you again at fucking fall gathering or another goddamn camping trip. Like, I'll see you soon. Bye. And so I didn't say goodbye to him. And, you know, I texted him and I have that like a last text, but I didn't kiss him goodbye. I didn't hug him goodbye. And so I have to live with the fact that I was just like kind of a bitch to one of my friends who I really loved. And, that, you know, I get to hold on to that, and I will, because I'm a Catholic at my core, and I love to, be mean to myself, and, that is, like, part of why I'm so angry, is that I, didn't just go fucking, like, wake him up, or, like, I don't know, go into the sauna and be like, I'm not coming in, but like, good night, I love you. Mm. You know, no like last goodbye. Because I didn't think it would be the last goodbye. And yeah, so that's definitely my fuck up. My keepsake is just this trip and the fact that we did it and that we're on it and that I feel like not a different person, but just a better version of myself. I don't feel so insecure and so shiftless and so dependent on other people to feel like connected to myself. And I just have I don't want to say fallen in love, but I have fallen in like with myself in a way that I have not experienced in a very long time. And that's been nice. I feel like I'm in a place that I've been wanting to be in for quite a while. And yeah, maybe it's love, but it feels a little bit calmer than to, you know, be like, I'm in love with myself. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, a little bit like when Saoirse Ronan is holding Little Women at the end of Little Women is kind of the feeling I'm having.
Totally.
And my hot take. What is my hot take? I mean, my hot take, honestly, is that San Francisco and beyond, so just kind of like Northern California. Is San Francisco Northern California, though?
It's like, yeah, I guess so. Is it?
Yeah. Northern California is just superior to Southern California. I'm so sorry to say this. SoCal is just not that girl, but Northern California, she's that girl. And I want more people to know this. Yeah, LA, San Francisco, obsessed. LA, San Francisco, slur. Yeah. L.A., slay, but, like, it should be slayed. San Francisco, slay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my hot take.
It's your, like, kind of temperate take, if you will.
My temperate take.
Your temperate take. Absolutely. In Northern California. Just kind of the perfect temperature take.
Yeah.
Never any other temperature. Well, incredible. I mean, normally right now we do like fuck up of the week, but I just sort of feel
fuck
like
fuck up of the week is that our friend died. Yeah. Our fuck up of the week is that our friend is dead.
And that's going to be the fuck up of the week for the rest of the podcast.
The fuck up of the week is that our friend is dead. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a fuck up on Mother Nature / God / the universe's part. Big fuck up. Hate that. Hate that choice. Absolutely 0 out of 10. Hate it. Yeah, we're in a general road trip time warp right now. So rather than fuck up of the week, should we do fuck up of the road trip?
Sure.
And it's not like, you know, separate of not saying our goodbyes to Alex, because we've thoroughly exhausted that. So what's our fuck up of the road trip? Oh, I know. What?
What is it?
Nika and I told everyone that we would be getting married in Las Vegas.
Oh. We even said that we did.
And here's the thing. Here's the fuck up. And it's not on our part. It's on Las Vegas's part. Las Vegas, incredibly difficult place to get married in, it turns out. I don't know how so many of you in the early 2000s were doing this blackout. Because while we were fully sober during, like, office hours, we couldn't figure out how to way to expeditiously and frugally get married in that city.
Terrible.
Partially because we were doing a, you know, a gay marriage, and Nevada is a little bit homophobic, but even if we were trying to get straight married, I think it would be difficult. We were having a really, really, really hard time figuring out, like, where to get married for less than like $300.
Yeah, it was tough.
So for that reason, we are not yet married, and we so deeply apologize for all that we led astray when we said we got married. We kind of just thought it would be funny to just pretend that we still did do that. We will still be married by the end of the road trip.
Yeah.
God willing.
We're getting married in Colorado.
Because Colorado, turns out, if anyone else is trying to elope with a bestie, you know, kind of platonic life partner it up, Colorado is the place to do it. Do not do it in Vegas. Colorado, it's $30 for a marriage license. You get your license the same day of application, and you don't need an officiant or witnesses. You two can marry yourselves by just signing it together. So $30 and no other people involved. Simply go elope in Colorado. So that's our plan. That's one of our next stops. So we kind of did the reverse honeymoon, you know, we did the whole road trip, and then the last, like, one of the last stops is actually getting married. Mm-hmm. But we do have our wedding photos kind of in Vegas still.
Yes.
And we still have our little wedding outfits, and we're going to wear them again in Colorado. Why not?
Yeah.
And we're going to have, like, a whole party in New York and probably in our respective hometowns. We're going to milk it for all it's worth. And if you'd like to give us a wedding present, subscribe to the Patreon. Venmo us. We're not kidding.
We're not. We're not.
It's... And I don't say this lightly. It's what Alex would have wanted.
It is. He'd be like, y'all.
Y'all.
Right now.
Subscribe to their Patreon.
Listen, it is what he would have wanted, because on our last night in Asheville, we were selling our merch for... We're selling our bucket hats for
that
10,
he helped us make.
For $10 to $20 sliding scale.
And he helped us make them, so we were going to just give him one.
And he... was covering a friend who wanted a hat and typed in 200 on Venmo. And I was like, Alex, it's $20. And he just looked at me and put his finger to his mouth and then just gave me, like, big eyes while he stared at me while he pressed send. And I was like, Alex, what the fuck? And he just walked away outside and never said anything else.
Love you, Alex. So anyway, Alex already sent his wedding present to us, so follow suit. Oh my God, Alex died thinking we were going to get married in Vegas, and then we didn't. Sorry, Alex.
Sorry.
We're still getting married.
We are.
Anyway, highlight of the road trip.
I feel like I would say the main highlight was doing So True Bestie in Austin.
I was just about to say that.
Oh, were you fucking copycat?
Yeah, we did So True Bestie in Austin. And, like, it was actually a smashing success. Still have not been paid by that venue.
Really? Interesting.
Emailed them a couple of times now.
I don't love that.
But, you know, sometimes bookkeeping takes a minute. But, you know,
it's been a while.
You could go ahead and email me that.
It's been a long time since we did that show. It's been almost a month. So I would love to know what's going on. And I have some friends who live in Austin. Could send them there to us.
With a crowbar in their hand. With a
crowbar and two bunnies.
Just kidding. It's absolutely...
I will send my friends there with two bunnies.
Listen.
Poop all over your venue.
Listen, it's no problem.
Seth, Mindbath, if you're listening.
We desperately love that money because we're very broke.
So broke.
But... Yeah, we brought So True Bestie to Austin. It was a smashing success. Leah Samson and Wendy Starling were absolute gems and the best guests we could have possibly had. And it was amazing that a crowd came out for us in a city we don't live in. And everyone bought merch and we gave them stickers afterwards. And so we're definitely going to take So True Bestie on the road.
Yeah.
So please let us know what city you'd like us to take So True Bestie to. And, you know, if you could get us a general head count, that would be appreciated. And yeah, one of the last, you know, there've been a lot of incredible moments of this trip. Another highlight was watching my friend Sam Corey Rose get married to his beautiful, beautiful wife, Ellie. That was an incredible highlight because it's so rare that weddings are actually fun and good. And this was a fun and good wedding.
It truly was. It was one for the books.
One for the books. Every national park we've been to, every hike we've gone on, like all of these have been highlights. But I will say that the Austin show was a highlight also because it was... the last true highlight of the road trip before we were grieving.
Before our friend died.
Have we mentioned that our friend died?
We should put a bleep. Elisa?
Bleep out every time we mention that Alex died. Just bleep the whole thing out.
Just bleep the word died. So Alex, bleep!
Yeah, every single time we say the word death, died, passed away, just bleep it out. We don't want to trigger anyone. It's a sensitive subject. Who cried? Not me. Okay, anyway. Huge mistake. Huge.
Huge.
That our friend died.
Big mistake.
Big mistake. Huge. Wouldn't say it's the best mistake. If anything, we've finally arrived at the worst mistake.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Alex. You would have loved Pretty Women unless you already... What? Big mistake, huge, is from Pretty Women. Big mistake.
I know, but...
Huge.
Are we sure that Alex didn't see...
Well, I was... Before you said what, I was gonna say, unless you already saw it. But maybe you didn't. So...
I definitely feel like Alex would have loved... Pretty Women if he didn't see it.
Yeah.
Seems like, you know, I'm going to
Rest in peace, Alex. You would have loved Avatar 2.
Okay. We're absolutely editing this out.
Disagree.
Write us your mistakes at bestmistakespod@gmail.com. If you want to write us your grief stories or you want to commiserate about... grieving that you're going through or have gone through. We'd love to hear about that too, as we are both a little bit of rookies when it comes to losing someone that we were this close to that was, like, you know, this unexpected. So would love to just kind of be not alone in that, if anyone wants to write in about that. And as always,
test your holes,
test your drugs,
and kiss your friends
on the mouth before it's too late.